Ever feel like time's just slipping away? Dragging you from one task to the next without a moment to breathe? What if that's not just life, but the hidden impact of artificial time? A system that keeps us disconnected, out of sync with the Earth's natural rhythms? What would it take to shift from harm to harmony? Let's uncover the real cost of living by a clock and calendar that was never designed for us, and explore what could change if we embraced a rhythm as old as life itself. Welcome to the harm of artificial time, shifting from stress to synchrony.
Tune in with the Galactic Spin Podcast and expand your view.
In Lakesh and greetings. Welcome to the Galactic Spin Podcast. I'm your host, Makua Ray, Kin 126, along with co-host Ruben Ginas, Kin 113. In Lakesh, Ruben, how you doing?
In Lakesh, brother, and happy again to be here and reconnect with you and with our audience. We're starting to build like a nice background of audience, and so we are happy to have people that are resonating with the message that we are sharing and that are getting more and more in tune with the golden intersection of timelines, which is at the root of this initiative, this creative adventure that we started on October 7th, on an important day also on the Gregorian calendar.
It's a considerably different state of affairs today than it was 7 days ago on our last episode. Yes. So we have quite a bit to examine and observe through the lens of the synchronic order as it relates to the various situations and we'll say characters who are in the field right now showing up in this dramatization on planet Earth and this biosphere and noosphere transition that we are attending and participating with. So wonderful to be here. Obviously, today is 11-11. That's a portal day. People around the world are acknowledging the significance of the numeral frequency of today according to the Gregorian calendar. So we know that all is number ultimately, and that all these numbers do hold a certain frequency. They are expressing something specific to us. And so we'll get into a little bit of that. There's a lot of layers of meaning to this 11-11 of the current Gregorian year 2024, but also looking in retrospect to other points that have been significant in our collective past related to this date. As usual, we are certainly grateful to be here. We want to acknowledge our team, just to say thank you to them for their continued support and presence and all the creativity that they pour into this broadcast and the production, without which it would not be as awesome as it is. And so we are certainly grateful for that. And also for all our relatives out there who are holding the spiritual ground and anchoring their love and their gratitude into the earth at this time. We had the fortune of doing a broadcast earlier today with our elder Audrey Scott Williams, who's been a colleague and a comrade and collaborator of the Harmonic Factor over the years. And so it was wonderful to host space with her where she was channeling a sacred message on this portal day, this gateway day of 11-11 from the spiritual grandmothers of the four directions. So I want to invite people who are tuning into our broadcast to visit Harmonic Convergence 2020 to 2028, our Facebook page, where we posted that interview from earlier today. It was a beautiful, beautiful transmission. And we had a chance to also dive into the significance of today's galactic signature and the healing frequency that is really, really coming through at this moment right now.
Perfect, because it gives us the introduction, the Earth's Pulse, which is our first section dedicated just to precisely measure what is happening out there geopolitically in the celestial realm. And also what is happening in our own little bubbles, in our own little spheres, the For instance, we have been already feeling the entrance into the winter months in the northern hemisphere, and there is an energetic shift happening. And the idea is that we have this space every 7 days to monitor that shift, that entrance into a different season, into a different type of energy. And the codes of the law of time and the synchronic order gives us specific points of reference so that we can navigate these times and really comprehend the deeper meanings. Like in a day like today, that we were speaking at the beginning, that is 11-11, and how this 11-11 signature became like a symbol for synchronicity.
Exactly. For
presence of that force that organizes and coordinates everything in existence. So having the codes of the law of time to really perceive deeper layers of that phenomena called synchronicity, and that's the name for the episode today. I love it so much because it's passing literally from the stress of the artificial time bubble to the synchrony of the fourth dimension of time, synchronic order. And today is a special entrance point because this is the signature of synchronicity on the Gregorian calendar, which is the artificial timing system. So
absolutely.
And it's Armistice Day, is the celebration of Armistice Day, which is the remembrance of the end of the First World War. In the U.S. is also happens to be that in the U.S. there are 11 federal holidays, and this happens to be the ninth observance. Veterans Day, it's another holiday grounded in war, which is what the Gregorian calendar engenders and fosters. So we have many of those federal holidays connected to the paradigm of war, to remembrance of traumatic events. And the idea is just to make conscious these moments like today, to bring into the awareness of the larger audience that these dates are embedded into the Gregorian calendar with a specific frequency and intention. And of course, the fact that an important historic event like the armistice or the end of World War II happened on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, and there are 11 federal holidays, and this happens to be the ninth one of the 11. Thanksgiving, the next one, and Christmas Day, the next one.
Wow.
It's an interesting point to observe, and not with the intention to judge, but with the awareness to grasp where these dates are, why are they picked, and why are they commemorated around the world.
Exactly.
We wanted to show people that this 11-11 of 1918 was the day that the armistice was signed, and it was the first time that the world was celebrating the end of a large conflict. And right now, well, we are hoping that even though there is a war on consciousness that we were addressing and that we have been addressing in all episodes, but that since we were speaking 7 days ago about the U.S. election and the importance of that event for the world affairs, that happened precisely on King 121, which is 11 times 11. So that's how the synchronic order is informing us that there is an order to everything that we have been seeing, and that even though the results of this election were creating much emotional disturbance in the field, to say the least, there is an order at place, a larger, more intelligent order that is coordinating events and characters on Earth, and the characters that we can see and appreciate playing out in the geopolitical drama, like the elected presidents of Mexico and the U.S. neighbors, is a perfect example to really expand our view, which is the purpose of our podcast. Is the purpose to see where are the connecting links of these apparent timelines or perspective that are irreconcilable, but that we can really find points of meaningful significance. In this case, the president of Mexico, she was born June 24th, 1962. Her name is, I forgot her name.
Claudia Sheinbaum.
Sheinbaum. She was elected precisely one day after the 30th anniversary of the discovery of the tomb of the Queen of Palenque. That was interesting because she just, after that, she became elected president. And this was the first time that two women were competing for the office of the president. And she's at Quinto 37 Red Electric Earth that happens to be the perfect opposite on the Tzolk'in, or what is called the antipode of Donald Trump, which was born June 14, 1946, and he's King 107, Blue Electric Hand. So it is interesting that his last birthday was on Claudia Sheinbaum's galactic return. Basically, the last waystpell of the ego coincided with this important synchronization between these two characters in that play, that both countries, their symbol is the eagle. The symbol of Mexico is the golden eagle. The symbol of the U.S. is the bald eagle. They are in their flags and their coat of arms. And in that same waystpell of the eagle, Donald Trump synchronized with Claudia Sheinbaum in terms that his 78th birthday coincided with her 87th galactic return.
Look at
for
that.
For those people who are new, there are two cycles that we are measuring here. One is 260 days, the other one is 364 plus one day. And for the lifetime of these two important characters right now in the world arena is Quinto 37, which is to be a service to the Earth. We are speaking about the Earth's poles in this section. And both these elected officers, besides their political affiliation and their background and their personalities, they are synchronized by this signature of the red electric earth. And it happened to be that Claudia Sheinbaum's last birthday was the transcendence of this waystpell of the eagle. So it's what we call the magic flight of the eagle. We can appreciate in that she's playing a transcendental role for Mexico, being born on this waystpell of the eagle and being elected as the leader of the country with that signature, wearing her signature as blue cosmic hand.
Wow.
And that was the same day that the conflict in Israel, between Israel and Palestine, the unfortunate war on Gaza, started. And that's
when you say the same day, just to be clear, that's the same signature of the day itself, because October 7th, 2023 bore the same signature, Kin 247.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just to be clear.
Yes. And it's important to make these clarifications because this is a new system. And these are basically these observations that we do to really measure or have a different outlook of what is happening behind the scenes, what the role of these two characters are in this geopolitical drama all about. Having them as perfect antipodes from birth, an electric hand and electric earth, and being right now the views on immigration so polarized, there is certainly something that they have, these two characters have to play in this the next four years are going to be really interesting to see the dynamics because of the polarity of the masculine and the feminine, because the fact that they are sharing missions, because each waystpell is an adventure. Each archetypal energy is commanding a certain frequency.
Yes.
And the fact that both of them are this year elected as red electric earth. Well, what is the electric is being in service to the earth. And we will see how that plays out. We don't judge with the same lens the political results of any country. We are just observing from a detached perspective, a higher perspective, what are the aspects that are really bringing these characters together so that we can have a much better comprehension. Especially now that the energy around the earth is there's a lot of volatility and nervousness about the future. So these synchronicities really help us. Actually, the power of the earth is the power of evolution and synchronicity. So making this conscious really helps the evolution of the planet because it can allows us to perceive harmony when there is apparent, there is no connection.
That's right.
And the purpose of the podcast is really to harmonize and synchronize like always has been.
Yes. Our purpose. Exactly.
And these events, these important geopolitical events, there are people who prefer to brush them off, but they are part of our reality. What we are doing here is really integrating all aspects of reality into the synchronic order so that we can elevate the whole system one notch up, you know, just by observing the harmony behind the disharmony.
Hmm. Like we say, we're bringing a fourth dimensional lens to make sense of third dimensional human affairs. Yes. And that's what we're witnessing here. I'd like to also point out, when we look at the code of a given signature, each of these qualities, each of these 260 signatures contain a code that we can use to actually illuminate the purpose of that given signature. And being that both of these political figures and leaders bear that similitude with the red electric earth, it's interesting to note that the first line of the red electric earth affirmation states, "I activate in order to evolve."
Uh-huh.
So both of them, no matter what we may think about them in one way or another, they are being informed, we could say, by this purpose. Each of us come into our incarnation with a purpose. And another application of the synchronic order is to reflect on one's own purpose or the meaning of any significant event or relationship or any date, for example, to get a different perspective on the purpose of that relationship, of that event, or of that date. And yes. So as we look at somebody like Donald J. Trump through this lens, we can appreciate, again, from a higher perspective, that he does have a purpose that relates to activating in order to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a part of his purpose in the current year of his challenge. Let's just say he's being challenged by his purpose, literally, no matter how you frame it, he's in that cycle.
Yes.
Which is a very interesting place to be because he's completed then one complete 52-year cycle and half of the second 52-year cycle to be back in this arrangement with his antipode or his challenge energy. And that it's coming from across the Mexican border in the form of the new president of Mexico, President Sheinbaum, who is, by her purpose, the red electric earth, yes. Then she's definitively set to helping evolve things from the lens of the synchronic order. There's a purpose informing her position and purpose on earth, right? So it is a very interesting thing to observe these arrangements and alignments through the lens of the fourth dimension of these codes. It definitely provides a different spin. That's why we call this podcast the Galactic Spin, not just because that 260-day cycle is referred to as the Galactic Spin, but also because we are seeking to get a different perspective and a different angle on, again, these affairs happening here in the third dimension. Everything is effectively being evolved in this biosphere-noosphere transition. So in that, this helps us stay aware of the trajectory of that evolution on some level. And a lot of this is also intuitive. So we are invited, when we navigate and work with this information, we're also invited to work with it through the utilization of our own intuition, trusting our instincts and our intuition to help with our own interpretations of the synchronicities. I like to say that nobody can tell somebody what is a synchronicity or not to them. Like, that's a very personal, direct thing. And so when you do utilize this lens, it does lend itself to a very personal adventure experience as well, because you begin to see how you show up in the synchronic order of your life and as well of the life of the planet Earth as a collective.
Yeah, let's sink in.
We have entered the mystic column, and we find ourselves now in the seventh day of this position in the mystic column, 7 out of 20, and today being the blue planetary hand. And we'll get into that a little bit, but feel free to elaborate.
We do our best to make emphasis when we reach certain points of the two natural time matrices, being those the 13-moon cycle and the 260-day cycle. One is the measure of the cycle of human fertility, which is the 13 moons. Within those 13 moons, we are right now about to close the fourth moon of the year. This is the moon of form. It's inviting us to define and measure. And the energy that is coordinating this entire moon is the blue self-existing eagle. So each of the 13 moons of the year have a fractal equivalence within the 1320 matrix. So we have, in the same way that we have 260 days in one Solkin, and we have exactly 13 stages of 28 days in one year and 260 moons in a larger cycle of 20 years. So we can complete 260 days, 260 heptads, 260 moons, 260 years, and we will keep measuring those cycles with the same blueprint, which is the harmonic module. It's a fractal yardstick to measure the cycles of time. And within this moon, here we are today on 11-11 signal in green, is the 25th day of this fourth moon. The week is coded, the yellow week is coded with yellow electric sun, King 120. So we have in this week really the entrance, the last. Tomorrow we are 3 days away from closing the entire moon of 28 days, and we will close this entire moon of form right at the heart of the Solkin. That's why we started the section with that little clip of the mystic column, because we are entering the resonant channel of the harmonic module. And everything that happens in this channel is like the umbilical cord that connects us to creation and to the center of the galaxy. It's an etheric cord. Precisely on King 129 and King 130, we enter what is called harmonic 33 of this cycle of 20 days that we were highlighting. And those 4 days at the center or the heart of the 1320 matrix are basically the heart of time. This is really where entering a very auspicious window in which transformation is all about, and that mystic column has at the center the mystic void. This is the harmonic 33, and the mystic void is precisely that void that connects us to the source of creation. So this is an invitation for people within the next days to really go deep, to really see ourselves in the mirror, because this is the 13-day cycle of the mirror that we enter precisely 10 days ago on the energy of the white magnetic mirror, King 118. And this cycle goes on the Gregorian calendar from the 5th of November to the 24th of November. These 20 days are a really powerful time for transformation, for seeing ourselves in the mirror and let go of those things that they already play their important role in our lives and in the collective, and move forward. When we pass that center point, that King 130, at the end of this moon, we will be basically entering to the second half of the 260-day module. And the entrance of this second half corresponds to the Monkey Way spell. That's when we will be having our next broadcast. We'll be doing the Way spell of the Monkey, which is all about playing and magic and becoming more in tune with our inner child. That's why when we enter the heart of the Solkin, which is King 130, White Cosmic Dog, and the Blue Magnetic Monkey, we are really at the heart of the heart of time. And this mystic void is what we were saying before, the point of connection or etheric connection with the heart of the galaxy called Hunabku, the one giver of movement and measure. So it's a really important window to synchronize, because these way spells also started on Dia de los Muertos. Is a very important cycle to enter that void with our minds, our hearts, and our bodies as clear as possible to receive the blessings of entering that sacred point at the center of the harmonic module. Do you have any comment that we should address on this fantastic entrance into the mystic void?
You really, really summed it up. I think it is a wonderful invitation to be still, actually, and just really be present in that sacred center, in the middle of that 33rd harmonic, which is the mystic void, as you said. It's at the very heart of time. And as such, it's going to be, I think, an opportunity to really tap in and resonate at higher heights and greater depths for what's necessary right now. I say go into that space and bring back what you require to fulfill your purpose at this time on earth. That's what that moment invites for me.
Yes. And by the way, congratulations on your galactic return yesterday.
Right on.
For those people who want to become more familiar with their galactic signature, well, every 13 days we have a new cycle within the 1320 matrix. And the last one happens to be Makua's galactic return. The galactic return is the moment that we complete cycles of 260 days, not our birthdays, when we complete cycles of 365 days. So this is how the solar and lunar cycles coordinate with the galactic cycles, by really perceiving these synchronicities. And you are 520 days away from your 52nd milestone. So
that milestone, yeah.
Yes. So that's an important, it's only two solkins from graduation. So
it's a moment for pause and reflection for sure, when you realize, oh, the timing mechanism is continuing to proceed, and you're recognizing these milestones coming and then arriving and then passing. So we just celebrated the passing of your reaching that threshold, and I will soon follow here in a couple of, well, I guess two Zulkins, really, from yesterday. So no, it's an interesting thing when we begin to bring all of these different factors into focus. And then I can say, well, I've completed 71 Zulkins. So I'm 71 Zulkins old as of yesterday, right? So no, it's a beautiful thing to have that lens. And we know that when we do arrive to the 52nd year of our solar year, that we arrive to the 73rd Zulkin cycle, that those cycles are companion. 52 years is equivalent to 73 Zulkins. So we can begin to think about it in those terms as well. And that's why we can calculate, oh, 520 days from yesterday, I'll reach that point, that marker. And I'd thought about it. In fact, you texted that to me in a message, and it was as if I got the telepathy, you know, about that prior to receiving your message, because your message reflected what I had been contemplating, like, wow, just looking at the factors and something significant about 520 days until 52. Yeah. It's a very, very special window of opportunity. I'm feeling that's what's open to me as a result. So thank you for that.
Especially now that we are in this 52 heptad or week experiment of really keeping this pulse.
Exactly.
Very intentional about it, because we both, for those people who were also new to this broadcast and who don't know who Makua and myself are, we are within the Zulkin, we are perfect analog. So I'm King 113 with Solar Skywalker, and my analog power is King 126 White Solar World Bridger. And this is one of the keys that open up for us the idea of collaborating and really bringing into embodiment the connections of the Zulkin, the meaningful aspects of harmony that we can find between anything, really. We just need to focus our attention and intention and finding those points of resonance so that we can create harmony and beauty.
Mm. That's right. In fact, and indeed, time is art. Indeed. And here we are with another look at the time is art quality and the value of that as we consider this time shift from the artificial 1260 to the natural time frequency of 1320.
It is always important to go back to the same images, at least during this time of the year, because we are about to close a new Gregorian year. And the calendar is a program. So we can now see within that program how it's programming war and helping us to remember trauma, and also programming what these holidays, but these holidays that are really now driven by money. So we have the next holiday in the US is Thanksgiving, and there is the Black Friday and all the commercial activities that go with that, and then Christmas. So this is the time of the year that the program gets activated, the Gregorian calendar. And the idea of this show is to shift, this broadcast today is to shift our perceptions from stress to synchrony, from harm to harmony. That has been the purpose. We already showed this graphic during the past two episodes, but now we want to go really one by one because we will see the qualitative differences between the old time, the artificial time matrix, and the new time or the natural time matrices. And we are in that middle point of transition. We are really living an old self, which is our third dimensional life, and integrating it with our fourth dimensional self is based in time. Third dimension is the world of matter. Fourth dimension is the world of time. So we are really making a bridge between the two dimensions. We are the living embodiment of time. It's in our body. We have the 13 joints, the 20 fingers and toes, the 33 vertebra, which is the 20 plus the 13. And, of course, we have 28 phalanges to measure each of the 28 days of each moon. And since we are the embodiment of these frequencies, well, part of our function, biological function, is to really anchor them on the earth. So we will go here in a step-by-step guide, this infographic, showing us how there are at least, I think there are 13 aspects listed here that we really need to contemplate to grasp the importance of making this shift from the artificial time matrix to the natural time matrix and what that brings to the planet and what it brings to us on a personal and collective levels.
That's exactly right. And at the beginning, we are looking at the calendrical system, because it is the aspect that goes largely unchecked in the modern era. People don't ever really stop to contemplate what is the impact of the Gregorian calendar on my mental health. What's the impact of the mechanical clock on my mental well-being? You know, and this is one of the things we seek to make conscious. And the shift of calendrical system to the 13-moon-28 day plus the 13-20 matrices is the remedy. It's also referred to as the untried solution. And so this is part of us making these dynamic differences conscious to give a perspective on what you are releasing and what you are gaining by making this conscious decision in your own life to tap in and to begin to navigate the 13 moons.
Absolutely. And in terms of the design, let's remember that good design in the third dimension refers to function and aesthetics. And the Gregorian calendar really has a function and an aesthetic that was coined by not nature, but by an authority, an external authority that today we identify as the Vatican or the Catholic Church. As we mentioned in the past few episodes, on October 15, 1582, we started this Gregorian count of days that we still use today. And the people who designed this irregular system come from those institutions, the Catholic Church and the Vatican. While the new time and the natural time matrix, we cannot pinpoint to an authority here on earth, but an all-present authority, which is creator or nature or simply a higher mind, a great spirit. Since we can see it in nature and in our own bodies, so we can recognize that design and that signature, that it's not imposed, but it's just a reflection of the sacred order present across the universe.
Beautifully put. Now then you have measure, and this is where we look at the frequency of measure. Both calendars do track one solar orbit. This is true. When you look at the erratic nature of accounting for that orbit in the Gregorian calendar, you go through this uneven frequency, you know, with the 31 days and 30 days and 1 month of 28 days, every 4 years, 29 days. It's very uneven, very difficult to build anything reliable on such an uneven frequency. when we shift in our awareness and shift in this transition, measure becomes one solar orbit times 13 moon orbits. So it's observing the fact that every solar orbit, there are 13 moon orbits at a frequency of 28 days per moon. And that's a beautiful, even frequency that is reliable, that is consistent, that is elegant in its expression.
It's also a measure of the human gestation cycle, as we said before. So in terms of the polarity of how the measure of those cycles is tracked, we can see that if we only measure the solar orbit, we are only observing the male aspect of time. While if we observe the lunar cycles and connect with that periodicity, we can start to connect with the female cycle. Women today are, because of the Gregorian calendar and because of light pollution also at night, very disconnected from the moon. So really tuning into this pulse of 28 days really help us as males to reconnect with our female aspect. And for women, it surely brings a lot of more entrainment between their biology and their minds and their fertility cycle. What we perceive here in the first four aspects between the two systems is that because the authority that designed this instrument was a religion that is controlled by men, well, the system reflects that male polarity, and that it was actually used to disconnect females at the time, women, from their biological God-given cycle. So the idea is that we return to this balance between the two energies, the masculine and the feminine, and the 13-moon, 28-day synchronometer really allows us to experience that balance, to really honor the female cycle and the solar cycle, and celebrate the synchronization between the two every July 25th on Day Out of Time.
Exactly. And the divisions, as we mentioned earlier, the 12 irregular months of the Gregorian calendar being 28, 29 days, 30, and 31, it's a little puzzling. The transition into the divisions of how the moon or the year, rather, is accounted for in the new time, having 13 regular 28-day moons. Not a lot needs to be said about that. It's elegant and it's simplistic and it's very reliable. And it's an easy count when you think of 7 times 4, for example, breaking into that 13 moon frequency pattern. It becomes easy to calculate on the fly. If you're trying to calculate around the 12 irregular months of the Gregorian calendar, you can't just do that math quickly in the same way. So it makes for an interesting argument for why adopting a 13-month, 28-day calendar is a much better choice.
Absolutely. And to complete that thought, also to remember that the 28, 29, 30, or 31 measure of each month of the Gregorian calendar, it's what we call a disharmonic or a irregular standard unit of measure. So what we are looking to is to return to a harmonic standard of measure. Harmonic standard being the 28 days. That's the perfect measure of one moon of 4 perfect weeks of 7 days each. And in terms of the dimensions that both systems help us really comprehend and perceive with clarity, the artificial timing mechanism is designed to trap us in space, just to track the movement of time as the movement of numbers on a screen or the numbers of the clock, the two arms of the clock. While the four-dimensional matrices really allow us to experience both the aspects, space and time. This is how we can perceive that there is a mathematical average between the cycle of the moon and the cycle of the Earth of approximately 13 revolutions of the moon per one revolution of the Earth. And allow us to connect with our fourth dimension, with the fourth dimensional aspect behind that, which is the Tzolk'in and the 260-day count. So if we want to really bring together the third dimension and the fourth dimension, which is the realm of time, imagination, dreams, this instrument, this tool, really is the bridge between the two. It's the best way that we can connect both with the aspects of nature that play out in the 3D and both with the telepathic aspects of reality that are part of the mind field and that coordinates the cycle of human gestation and human fertility. When we speak about the intelligence behind these systems, we need to make conscious the aspects or the term local mind, which is the machine, and the non-local mind, which is the omnipresent or the superior mind, the supramental plane, where there is an inherent intelligence to the entire matrix that is the non-local mind, is playing out throughout the entire universe. While a local mind, we can really locate that thought form in the machine right now. The machine is that artificial brain that is now informing and serving as the operational system of civilization in terms of every single transaction that we do every day is registered in a machine. So it's a local intelligence, even though it can be stored in different servers. Really, it's bounded in the third dimension, by the third dimension. While the non-local mind is just everywhere, it's inside the atom, it's coordinates the movements of the galaxy, and from the micro to the macro. Every aspect of ourselves, the daily rhythms that take place in our body, they are coordinated by this non-local mind. And really, using this tool allows us to experience more of that non-locality or that quantum reality that is always present, but that there is an interference or a sort of static created by the artificial time bubble that disconnects us from that non-local mind and bring our attention to these very subtle but powerful ways of controlling our everyday activities. The clock and the calendar are really pacing human life to a degree that we are not still fully aware. So the more we use the 1320 and 1328 matrices, the more we can become aware of how detrimental the use of these artificial timing tools is for our society and for ourselves as individuals.
It seems that that also serves to further lock us into that material confine, sort of as space has been used as the confining aspect along with local mind or machine. I think it's a very interesting thing, especially now that we're here at this time where the emergence of the machine is so prevalent across the society, with everything moving in the direction of AI, as they've been speaking. It does remind me of the conversation we had previously about NI, noospheric intelligence. So we might call that non-local mind intelligence, that omnipresent intelligence. So at the evolutionary stage, this is a very interesting place we find ourselves. Congratulate yourself for being here on the planet at this time. You chose this, and you chose it for this very reason, that we are navigating the bifurcation of worlds, essentially, the separation of worlds, in a sense, where you have the technosphere, which is the layer, the artificial layer, basically spread out across the entire planet and functioning as an expression of this local mind machine. The technosphere takes on that, in a sense, as it covers as a web around the entire planet. Now, as we are evolving in the evolutionary stage, one path is going more deeply into the trenches of the material manifestation of the technosphere, while there is an invitation to shift with the Earth itself as it is being spurred to evolve. It is being supported to hit its next stage in its own evolutionary process. And that is largely being brought about, this conscious, making conscious the noosphere is being brought about due to the intense conflict and challenges derived from being so entrenched in the technosphere and in the material. So the material is essentially serving to shift the planet towards its next evolutionary stage. And that stage is referred to as noosphere. And we are invited as people incarnate in the planet at this time to evolve to become homo noosphericus, is a term applied to our evolving quality as humans in that process right now on the planet. And the shift to the new time facilitates the conscious attainment of noosphere, of that planetary mind. And there is a maxim or an axiom, a mantra that goes with that that states, I am one with the earth and myself are one mind.
Yes, and that evolutionary stage that you were mentioning is part of this shift in, as a species, from the Homo sapiens sapiens to the Homo noospherus, as you mentioned. But in order to shift from one species to the next, our emphasis is less and less now on material values and more into mental and spiritual values. The moment that we really connect and appreciate the higher mind and the intelligence that is informing us, we will really be able to fully integrate this balance that we can still perceive today between the material world and the spiritual world, the higher mental planes and the density of matter and space. So the 30 Moon 28 AG synchronometer is a bridge to really jump from that paradigm based on material values to this higher mental plane of spiritual values and of the elegance and beauty of geometry, number, and the pulse that is informing the entire fabric of creation.
So as it is becoming evident, when we talk about this artificial time, this mechanical clock, that is an interpretation of the very nature of the old timekeeping mechanism. Its nature is artificial and mechanical. In making this transition, though, into the new time, we regain the relationship with a biological organic paradigm for timekeeping. We've already discussed how the natural time frequency pattern of 1320 and 1328 both show up in the human biological form, in our human spacesuits. And we are evolved and returned to a more organic perspective and a more organic approach in terms of our lifestyle, in terms of our mental state, becoming tuned in with a higher, I would say, capacity for compassion and consciousness. And that is an output, a result of the shift in nature as we regain our nature from this artifice and return it to the biological organic nature that we are actually born from. And that transition is supported by applying this calendar, this synchronometer, into your personal life on a daily basis.
Yes, and in terms of the direction, which seems to be, for many people, could be irrelevant, the fact that the clock goes in a clockwise direction, which is to the right, from left to right, it gives power precisely to the masculine energy. There is a question still lingering why most of humanity is right-handed. And we have a very small percentage of left-handed people. And it may be connected to the fact that we are inclined or programmed to exert our masculine power instead of really connect with our feminine power. So the beauty about natural time is that it goes anti-clockwise, because it's really redeeming or going neutralizing the effects caused by that masculine movement of energy going out of balance. Mm-hmm. So every time that we connect with the 1320 or the 1328 natural time matrices, we are helping revert the, let's say, the karmic load or the dissonance that the artificial timing system has created within our own biology and within the external world.
So from a framework, this is quite interesting. The old time paradigm is linear in terms of its framework. The transition to the new time introduces us to something called radial time, where everything extends in a radius from the center, from the very center. We saw that last week to a degree when we looked at the operational system array presented by the vector equilibrium, with the radial extension of all those 12 points of energy extending equidistant from the center. So similarly, we can appreciate that the 13-moon, 28-day calendar, that the 260-day matrix of the Zolkin, all of these, as we looked at earlier in the pictures of a Zolkin, for example, we can look at that core 33rd harmonic in the very center of it as the radial center. You know, it is that void as well. But imagine everything extending out from the center equally, and we can appreciate the framework that that presents. It's elegant, it's even, it's beautiful. There's not a terminus point as much as it's a regenerative framework in the way it's designed.
And to complement that, also the linear time is, the modern science speaks about the arrow of time. The arrow of time is really keeping us on flat, in a flat line of going forward in time or going backward in time. And that's the arrow. But really, from the perspective of radial time, we can go to any point in any direction, downward, upward, diagonal, because our brains are designed actually to perceive reality as a whole, to integrate all aspects. And really, time is an aspect of consciousness that is hard to grasp, because we are so used to living in the material world and to depend on our existence in space that we don't spend much time in how the linear perception of time is really keeping us asleep or at least behind the evolution that nature is tracking and following. So the Gregorian calendar and the clock, we were making emphasis the other day that the clock represents the sea lock that keeps us chained to matter, to the artificial timing frequency where time is money. And that radial perception really is how to break free from that prison of artificial time. We can really travel in time forwards and backwards and bring aspects of consciousness back to the center, and back to the heart.
That's right. And as far as the scientific base is concerned, we are looking at the irrationality, the illogical nature, the unethical nature of the old time, artificial time. All we have to do is look at what has persisted underneath or within or from that 400 plus years under that system. The scientific base that we are suggesting in this transition, though, is one that is rational, logical, and ethical, because as you tune in and shift your frequency back to your natural frequency, that rationality, the logical nature of things, the ethical quality of life is just a natural outpouring, an output of being in sync with nature itself. And that is one of the results of applying this natural time paradigm to your own life in your affairs as you navigate this earth.
Yeah, and the force that is behind both aspects of how we relate to time, the artificial time matrix and the natural time matrix, is the fact that really being trapped by the artificial time bubble is, it creates a process of entropy and decay. Entropy being the degradation of matter, the natural tendency of matter to degrade into lower states of energy. while the force that is behind the natural time matrix or natural time consciousness is the syntropy, or the evolution of nature into higher and higher aspects of consciousness. So instead of being degraded as matter, our matter gets upgraded as light and spirit by just connecting with the pulse of nature, connecting with the pulse of the moon, connecting with the pulse of the sun, connected with the pulse of the star Sirius, really helps us enter into a process that is part of that organism that is the Earth, which we are the thinking cells, and make conscious the noosphere. We are here to really become those, how Jose Argüelles called us, cosmic vibratory roots that are bringing the energies from the cosmos into the matter and the biological embodiment.
So now we get to look at the mathematical base that is transitioning here. In the old time, we know the mathematical base is the decimal, the 10, based on the 10. When I look at the word decimal, I see decimate, I see decay, I see decline. There's interesting things that come out of the language, right? The mathematical base transition, as it relates to the new time, natural time paradigm, is just like the traditional Maya, the application of the vigesimal, which provides a completely unique and different lens through which to navigate and account for time. The base 20 mathematical base of the new time, natural time, opens up a panorama of not only possibility, but accuracy. And it makes it easier to actually calculate out longer and longer factors of consideration when it comes to time. So there's a definitive difference between the old time decimal system and the new time vigesimal mathematical base.
Absolutely. And that mathematical base is really the difference between the number 12 and the number 13. We have been calling the plus one factor. So when we were presenting the 13 upgrades on episode 5, we were really making conscious that array of 12 plus 1. And we see more and more within the spiritual circles, they speak about the 12 plus 1 frequency, because we have been trained to perceive the 12, but not the 13, which is the center between the 12 points. And that small difference of one unit makes a big difference for our minds. Just to break free from the 12 months a year and the 12 hours of the day and 12 hours of night helps our brains and our bodies to enter into resonance with the spiral of creation that goes through number 13. This is something that we have been emphasizing on the harmonic factor, is the fact that by putting our focus and consciousness on the 12 with so much emphasis, we are forgetting and actually perceiving the 13 or fearing the 13 as an aspect of bad luck or a frequency connected to something bad. That has created a big distortion within our consciousness. Numbers are neutral. Any qualitative power that we assign to numbers is our interpretation, but they are neutral. And the fact is that the number 13 is part of a larger order, which is present in nature, called the golden spiral or the Fibonacci spiral or the spiral of creation. And is this progressive mathematical formula that we already presented in past episodes, but is how nature grows, really how expands it, following a spiral pattern that the seventh step is the number 13. So when we make the 13 conscious, we are really going one step more into the spiral of creation, that spiral of creation. And that elevates our consciousness to a new plane and to a new level of awareness.
Now, if I'm not correct, the 13th step of that logarithmic spiral is a factor of 12 times 12. Is that correct? Is it 144 or is that the 12th? That's the 12th factor of it, right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting that it shows up in that sense in the count.
Yes.
Though we're shifting from 12 to 13 as a cyclical base, the 12 does show up in the 12th position as a factor multiplied by itself.
Yes.
Which I think is a beautiful way for it to appear at the 144 value.
What Dr. Ozerwages was emphasizing during his talks is that the 12 has a static quality. The static in terms that it is a very balanced number. It's 2 times 6 or 4 times 3 or 3 times 4. So it creates balance and it's very static. But 13 is a prime number, so it creates dynamism. It's either 1 or 13. And that quality, that dynamic quality, it was really allows us to elevate the spiral and break free from the static nature of the 12, which keeps us in that broken record or loop of consciousness that is not reaching that seventh step within the spiral, which is the 13. The dynamic quality of number is something that is very subtle but very powerful when we think about it, because if we really give the number 13 the importance that it has within the entire architecture in nature, being that seventh step, and appreciate that everything that we put our attention and intention gets impregnated by that force that is present in nature. So we are building on fertile land, any aspect of creation that we put our hearts and mind to work on.
Absolutely. And then?
Yeah, well, this paradigm of artificial time was defined by Jose Arguelles as the Tower of Babel, which is Babel is confusion. And all the aspects that are listed on that red side of the screen is the construct of the Tower of Babel. Each aspect that is disconnected from a higher order nature that keeps us trapped into the old energy of confusion. Well, it's time to really shift to a new consciousness or a new model that is based on geometry, on the perfection of number and form. And this is how it's presented as the Tower of Babel being redeemed by the cube of the law. The cube of the law being that higher law, that natural law that governs nature, and that through the geometry of the cube, we can appreciate that seven aspect, the six sides of the cube, all perfectly separated by each other by the same distance and equidistance from that center, which is the seventh point. Every week, every 7 days, we have a cycle of creation, and our consciousness is basically attuned to that frequency of seven. We perceive with our eyes seven frequencies of light, with our ears seven frequencies of sound. Basic frequencies. So the more that we entrain our consciousness with the cyclical nature of the 13 and the 7, being the 7, the center of 13, the more we entrain our consciousness into these evolutionary paths that are bringing mutations to our DNA, that we are only starting to perceive at the moment because of all the noise of the artificial timing bubble as it disintegrates and dissolves. But the more we make synchronicities conscious, the more we are making the noosphere conscious, and the more we are connecting with these higher pulses or orders of reality that are based in number, which is the language of nature. Mathematics is that language of nature, and the 13 moon 28 day synchronometer and the Solkin, the harmonic module, are the perfect tools to entrain our minds, our bodies, and our hearts to the frequency of creation. And And that's why we took the time to go one by one through these aspects so that we can really appreciate the shift from one frequency to the next one.
It's definitely a shift underway, a shift of the ages, we could say. And it is, fortunate that we do have a tool such as this to make that shift. It's a tremendous blessing. Thank you so much for that experience in terms of navigating that. And we invite people to look at our materials. We will provide links in the show description where you can also get access to that visual graphic because it's worth studying and contemplating. We want to make that available to people out there that are interested in learning more. So thank you. Thank you so much. Indeed, as we navigate what is next, as we've been speaking with you all about since the beginning of this podcast series, we came together around this podcast because we wanted to bring to everyone's awareness a very significant event coming up in the next, at this point, 336 days to the golden intersection of timelines. And we've talked about this in the next couple of episodes. We're going to dive more deeply into the construct, if you will, or the mechanics of this golden intersection. We'll take a look at the various timekeeping systems that are the focus of this event, both the arrival to October 14th, which is 161802 days of the Gregorian Lilian count, and 161803 days being what we arrive to on October 15th, 2025, which not only marks Phi Day, what we're calling Phi Day, because the number 1.61803 is Phi, but also it marks the 443rd year of the Gregorian calendar. Now, I think what's even more significant, though, than that is the fact that on October 14th, 2025, we reach 13 tunes completed since we crossed the threshold of December 21st, 2012. That's 13 tune cycles, 360-day cycles. 13 of those will be completed since the closing of the cycle on December 21st, 2012. So that's a very significant event that we are making conscious, that we are calling forth a global synchronized meditation from among kin around the world to hold space, to create space, to activate space together. Because it's the collaboration, the cooperation, and the participation that is going to help usher this in. And it's going to come from us, the willing and the committed, naturally, those who recognize that we need nothing less than a paradigm shift and a systems change at this time. So as for what is next, that is a major answer to the question. And I'd love to invite you, if you'd like to add any comments about that significant event that we are going to be tracking.
Yes, thank you so much. Yeah, probably this is the most important date since December 21st, 2012 in our lifetimes.
Yes.
Because let's say that December 21st, 2012 really opened the gateway for the new energy to vibrate. And now the reaching of that 13 marker after 2012, it's resonating with that pulse. And so the fact that is also taking place within a context of other alignments that we will explore in the next episode and that are very auspicious, to say the least, brings us to the conclusion that this is a very important junction within the fabric of time-space, and we want to really make that conscious and put that on the map, because that's our role and our responsibility, because it's an opportunity, a golden opportunity we have been highlighting to shift our consciousness into harmony. And this is a perfect, you can call it an excuse, but we really say it's a perfect, a golden opportunity to shift our awareness from all the chaos that is transpiring in the world to this higher numerical aspects of consciousness that are informing us and that are part of our everyday life. So we invite everyone to really tune in to the next episode in 7 days, the 7th episode, and we will go deep into each of the spirals that are converging at that crucial point in October 14, 15, 2025 on the Gregorian calendar.
Definitely. It's going to be something to tune in for. We are keeping account each episode with where we are in the process. For example, with the Lillian count, as you can see at the bottom center of the screen, today we're at 161465 days. We know that we're going to reach eventually the marker 161802 days on October 14th, 2025. So you can see, as we mentioned, it's 336 days until that time. Today, as we also know in the new Sirius count, you'll see these notations in our materials, but it's new Sirius 1, year 37, the fourth month, the 25th day, and kin 127. That's how that code would be read and understood. And then on the opposite corner, you have the Mayan Vigesimal long count. Now we know, again, by October 14th, 2025, and 336 days, that Maya Vigesima long count will read 13.0.13.0.0. As Ruben said, that's the most significant date since that Maya Vigesima long count read 13.0.0.0.0 on December 21st, 2012. So we're completing again 13 tunes, inviting you to tune in literally and figuratively, creatively and spiritually to this frequency. That's the invitation to you to participate in a conscious way, making conscious, making sacred, making art of this moment and this momentum. So we are, again, are grateful to all of you tuning in and showing up for the mission at this time. We want to encourage you to also visit our ongoing open petition for Calendar Referendum Initiative 2028 and Universal Declaration of World Peace. Please scan the QR code you see on your screen and sign the petition. Share this petition with others as well. We certainly appreciate your support in helping us get the word out to the human family about this. If you find this information valuable and curious and of interest to you, please help us in making this a conversation in your everyday life with people at your work, people in your community, in your family, even among your friends' circle. Get to talking about the calendar. Get to talking about, hey, what's the situation with the clock and calendar that has me feeling so dragged out and with not enough time and energy to do much of anything? Make the shift with us. Make the shift to the 13-month, 28-day calendar. Let's make it conscious. We invite you to go to our website where you can download and donate for the version of the synchronometer that we produce. There are other versions out there that we love. There's the Eden Sky version, Sky Time. They have a wonderful version. They have the Law of Time Almanac, Space Traveler's Almanac of Synchronicity. We encourage you to get whatever resource it is. Get this information in your heart and mind. We invite you to download our version of the synchronometer as well, directly from theharmonicfactor.com. It doesn't matter to us where you get it from. Just get the information and get this into your conversations and into your heart. Okay. So with that, I'd love to invite you, Ruben, if you have any thing you'd like to say, any closing remarks. I think we're finding ourselves here at the completion of another episode in this mega sequence of episodes, which we're so grateful for.
Yes. Yeah. Just to give thanks to Creator and to everyone that is watching and that is tuning in now or in the future. And thank you for your support, for subscribing, for your feedback, for leaving your comments and really allowing us to make our work more interesting, more fun, and every episode bringing a little bit better a better view of what all these new sciences, because we are also learning in the process. So thank you so much for allowing us to share with you our discoveries and to bring this information into awareness for a larger audience out there. Anyone who is interested in sacred geometry, in music, this is let's put it in a mild way, groundbreaking science that will really help you comprehend the nature of the universe, of life, of creation, and become a better human being also in the process.
Mm. Wonderfully, wonderfully put, for sure. My brother Ruben, thank you so much. And again, a shout out to our team, to Ishel for these amazing visuals for today's episode. I'm loving the creativity happening there. And we're just so grateful. A big shout out to Alejandra for holding space with us along this journey and keeping us active on our social media and interacting with getting people tuned in to the signatures of the day. It's such a blessing to have both of them to work with along this journey. And we look forward to some new guests coming up and some new episodes here in the very near future from some timekeepers and from other people that we are finding who are supporting and participating with this major shift in consciousness together. So with that said, we wish you all the very best, and stay in your heart and stay in your light and keep it creative, as always. Yes, indeed. Thank you, dear brother. In Lakesh.
In Lakesh.
Aho.
Aki. Thank you.